the things that are taking place in the Revelation chapter 8 are things that have happened after the rapture. There are things that have happened after the marking of the 144,000. There are things that are happened after the prayers of the saints who are under the altar have been revealed, and God's starting to answer those prayers. If you'll remember about the souls that are under the altar there, they're praying, "Lord, Lord, how long will it be before you take a vengeance on our enemies and make an atonement for the blood that we shed for you?" And we're looking at here, we're looking at a new side of God, a side that most Americans don't think about. We're looking at the side of God where true judgment is in His hand, and He's releasing these judgments on the earth. These are not new judgments. We'll find out that these judgments happened before Moses was the instrument that God worked some of these judgments in the Exodus. We'll see water that's turned to blood, and we'll see hailstones with lightning bolts running through it, fire running along the ground. Last week we looked at several things that God was doing in the earth, and there's an angel that was going to set and seal a number of individuals, and there were four other angels on the four corners of the earth, which, you know, earth is round. How do you have four corners? I don't know. But south and west, there you go. And so setting on those corners, setting out that place on the earth, and the angel who had to go make the marks on the people told them not to leave just yet. Don't head out. Don't start your mission just yet, because I've got to go out and I've got to seal these people. I've got to put my mark, or God's mark, on their forehead. And so they were held back until now. Now is the time that they're going to be released. And so we'll pick up at verse 7 and 8. Now these first four trumpet judgments will happen really fast. They're real fast in succession. It's boom, 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 boom. There's not a lot of time between the first and the fourth. These things are going to happen. They're going to happen rapidly. Okay, and so the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and the third of the trees were burned up, and all of the grass was burned up. So this first trumpet that was sounded out is very much like it was in the Exodus, what Moses did. This hail being thrown to the ground is not anything new. It's something that had happened before in the past. Like I said, Moses. So if you'll flip back to the Exodus and keep your thumb in Exodus, because we'll be back there a couple times today as we go back and look at it. So flip back to this in chapter 9, verses 22 through 26, and we're going to see something very similar to this, very small differences. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on every man, on every beast, on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." And Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder, hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled together. The hail was very heavy. Was the hail so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since began the nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, and all that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were spared. There is no hail at all. So you see, this very same thing is going to happen in this portion of the Revelation. God's opening up the heavens one more time, and the hail's falling down. And as it said in the Exodus, this fire that follows it is a lightning storm. And the lightning storm so fierce that it actually travels throughout the land. So you have a wet ground, there's hailstones all over, lightning falls, the hail's so great that it's touching one another, and like electricity, it's very conductive, you know, or not electricity, but ice is conductive, water is conductive. So the lightning bolts come down, it hits that, and it kind of spreads out. Well, actually, we're not going to be here for this. There are differences in this. In Egypt, the man and the beast and the vegetables all suffered, and they all were lost. In John's vision that he saw, only the earth and one third of the trees and all of the grasses were injured. So one third of all the trees throughout the whole world are knocked down by this hailstorm. One third. That's a lot. every blade of grass. It says all grasses, I believe it when it says. When he says all grasses, I believe that all of the grass was killed. You know, everything that the grass that would include wheat, that would include your corn, that would include any things that grow up out of the ground, you know, grass, anything that is a grass seed. And so they were all destroyed in this very one thing. It says they were thrown to the earth, the hailstones were, and 1/3 of all the trees were burned up, and all the trees and the grass were burned up. So as you see this stuff happening, it must have been very great. Right after that, it doesn't say that there's any time period between verse 7 and verse 8. And so the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and 1/3 of all the sea became blood. Well, that's pretty simple to understand, too. Back in the Exodus, you see that Moses was told to make the waters of the Nile River, to become blood. And so so that's the same thing that's happening here. Only this time, instead of working through a man, Moses, all this mountain. It's not a mountain, but it's something like a mountain that was thrown into the sea. Another word that we would call it is a meteor. Okay, a meteor thrown into the sea. Well, what sea? Chances are, most likely, it's not an ocean. It is a sea. It's most likely the sea of the Mediterranean Sea, that area. This astronomical meteor, or this meteorite, whatever it's called, hits the water, and it's powerful enough to destroy 1/3 of all sea life that's in the sea. And not only that, 1/3 of all the shipping is destroyed also. Now, I don't know for sure whether that means that there is a great tsunami that came through, or a great tidal wave that came and flipped over 1/3 of all the boats, or if there was a bunch hitting a marina, you know, where you remember where we're at in history here. There's the Antichrist has already gathered all the people together. He's already made this world peace treaty. All the folks have come together already, turned over their firearms, turned over their weaponry to him. And so there's this one guy in control of all the things of the earth. There are these 144,000 crazy Hebrew guys that are running around telling you, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And then all of a sudden, God starts releasing these trumpets, these things that are happening to the earth. And first there's that hailstorm and the lightning that runs along the ground that kills 1/3 of the trees, all of the grasses. And then right after that, there's this meteorite that comes through, screaming through, and possibly hits the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, the reason I think they may have all been in one spot is because of this Antichrist, this guy who is the ruler. He by now has built the shipping places right off of the New Babylon, okay, because he's preparing this to be the head of the merchandising of the time. And we'll be looking at that as we get further into the Revelation. All of these things, the meteorites, far as we know, has never happened before. Well, scientists say that they happened millions and millions and trillions of years ago. Personally, I don't believe that. I don't think we're old enough for all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you listen to the modern science, they say that these things have happened before. Could have that happened? I don't doubt it, you know, but I don't think it's anything like they describe it. I believe it's more like the Word of God describes it, you know. You can see the pock marks, you know, in certain places of the earth where a big dish place and it looks like a meteorite hit there. I mean, that's in Australia, I think. There's a big dish where it hit the ground and you can see all the it was nothing. It was nothing. That was a marble compared to what God's about ready to do. And so where you see in this happening before the water turns to blood is in Exodus 7:19 through 21. You can go there and you can read it if you like. So 1/3 of all the ships were struck. And so directly after that, and these meteorites, one was followed right by the other. And as you look in the Revelation, again, it doesn't say that there's any time that passed. Okay, and the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain was burning, and it was thrown into the sea, and 1/3 of all the sea became blood, and 1/3 of all the living creatures of the sea died, and 1/3 of the ships were destroyed. So, the vegetation's been struck, the trees have been thrown down, 1/3 of all the fish in that sea died, 1/3 of all the ships were destroyed, 1/3 of living creature, the sea became blood, became something that the fish couldn't live in. And then directly after that, the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. It was burning like a torch. You notice this is different than the other one. One looked like a mountain that was falling to the ground. This here, by the way I understand it and read it, is more like a comet. It's something because it's burning like a torch. And a torch, you know, if you take a torch and you go through the air, it leaves a tail, a trail. And if you look at a comet streaking across the sky, there you have the same thing. You have the comet itself, and then you have the trail of the comet that had, the tail of the comet that it followed. So when I read this, the thing that comes to my mind, and I'm not God, so I don't know, but what I think it is, it's more of a comet, not so much of a meteor or meteorite. Okay? And this great star fell from heaven. It was burning like a torch, and it fell on all the rivers and all the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, a lot of folks think that this here is an angelic being. You know, I've heard that because the star is named Wormwood. You know, and so I read a thing today, early this morning, about this fella. He believes in that this is not so much an astronomical thing that's happening, or what do you call it when it's in the air, when it's in the universe? Atmospheric thing, yeah. Thank you. Astronomical, it's just big. It's big, but it's not astronomical. It's just atmospheric. It's not one of those things. He thinks that it's an actual angelic host because it is named Wormwood. And you'll see here in the Revelation, there is a star that falls to the ground that has a key to the bottomless pit. That is an angel. That is an angelic being because he has a job to do. I don't know for sure which it is, you know. Both of them say that it fell from heaven, and they had a job to do. This very well could be an angelic being. I don't know. What I do know is that when it came to the earth and it passed by, all of the fresh water that was on the earth became wormwood. It became bitter, and it would kill you if you drank it. It was poison to the human body. Probably to anything else that would drink it or touch it. It was, it turned into poison. Okay, the name of the star. Now, see, a lot of folks say that, stars is another name for the sons of God and all that kind of stuff. I don't cotton to all that. I really don't. I believe the Revelation, if you'll stand back from it and you'll look at it and read it for what it says, that you'll have a clear picture of the things that God's trying to tell you here. And it says, a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, and it burned like a torch. It fell on a third of the rivers and of the springs of water, and the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because the water was made bitter. And so, regardless whether it's a comet or regardless of whether it's an angel who has the power to make all the springs of the earth or one-third of the springs turn into poison, very bitter water, don't really know. Some folks say it's the gases that was off the tail of the comet landed on one-third of the springs of the water and it turned it to poison. I don't know. Some folks say that it was an angelic host that came and his job was to turn one-third of the water into wormwood and that made it bitter. Either way, it doesn't really matter. What I do know is that one-third of the water will become bitter. It will become this wormwood tasting material. And because it's made bitter, many men will die from it. And then there's a fourth trumpet. In the heavens, the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was darkened, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, and a third of all of them were darkened, and a third of the day it did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked and I heard an angel flying. All right, so we're going to back up and we're going to talk about that. Of course, if you know anything about the jet streams and stuff like that of the earth, when a volcano explodes and erupts in Iceland, it stops airplanes in England. Why? Because the ash comes up and things can't move. They can't. So if you're imagining this asteroid hitting the Earth or a comet flying by the Earth so fast that it kicks up dust, or that when it hits the Earth it causes so much dust and dirt to fly up that the sun and the moon would turn dark. Okay, you wouldn't be able to see it. A great cloud mass to cover the Earth. So like the regular workday, it'd all be dark. You know, you wouldn't have the sun anymore, you wouldn't have the moon anymore, you wouldn't have the stars to guide you anymore because of this cloud mass, this dust mass that's in the over the earth in the atmosphere, and things would actually become dark. Well, what happens after everything becomes dark? Vegetation can't grow because there's no sunlight. The plankton starts to die because there's no sunlight. When all these things start dying, then all of this carnage starts erupting in the world. All of these fish can't eat, people can't live, plants can't live. Nothing is going the way that it's supposed to go, and or the way that it was planned to go. It's supposed to go this way because that's what God called it to do. Okay, and so as we look at all of these things happening, and they're all, I believe that they're happening really fast. I don't see any time periods between the first trumpet up to the fourth trumpet. And then after the fourth trumpet had happened, and he talks about the sun's being was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not, the sun did not shine, and likewise in the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying throughout the midst of heaven, saying in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels that are about ready to sound." What we're going to find in these next three angels, these next three trumpets that are about ready to sound, these are spiritual things that are going to come up on the earth. Okay, it's not, no longer is it a physical mass falling from heaven and hitting the ground and causing physical problems. No longer is it the hail falling from heaven and lightning scattering throughout that's burning up the grasses and stuff. There are, we're going to see things released from the pit of hell. Okay, there's, and these are very real things. We'll look at them here in just a moment. I don't want to give it away. They're very real. It's not an imaginary thing, but I don't think it's like what some philosophers have said it was. Like it's an Apache helicopter flying over the horizon, and a lot of folks say it's this. No, I believe that these are demonic beings that come out of the pit. I don't believe that there's a Huey or a Cobra helicopter sitting in the abyss waiting to fly and to attack people. But what I do believe is that God has a place for these beings, this germ, if it will be, or whatever, He has a place for them that they'll come up and they'll attack the earth. He says, "Woe" three times because of the great torment that's about ready to be poured out on the earth. And the angel says, "Woe, woe, woe." It's man, things are about ready to get bad. I mean, not that they're not already bad, but they're about ready. God's, well, what I was told when I was a kid, it's about ready to cloud up and rain all over you. Okay, things, you think it's bad now with the comets hitting and the asteroids hitting, the meteorites hitting, a third of the plant life is gone, all of the grass is gone, a third of the sea has been turned over, a third of the ships have been flipped over, all that kind of stuff. And it looks bad, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Things are about ready to get really bad because God's about ready to unleash some supernatural things on the earth. Okay, so he says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets, three angels who were about to sound." These three angels that are about ready to sound are about ready to release truly hell on earth. All right? Why should people get saved today? To prevent them from going through this. Okay, there's a reason that folks ought to come to faith in Jesus Christ today, because these times are coming. The times that we're about ready to look at that are truly horrible, horrible times. And in verse 9, the fifth angel sounds, and I heard a star fallen from heaven to the earth. Now, there's why I said it. It sounds like up in verse 10, an angel sounded and a great star fell from heaven. And in this one here, the fifth trumpet, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. All right, this particular angelic being, and this is angelic because he's given a key that is a key to a pit of God. And so this angelic host that has the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit, and it was like the smoke. Opened the pit, and the smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were blackened or darkened because of the smoke from the pit. So it was just one third of the sun was blocked out. Now he's saying that this pit that's opened up is blocking out more than a third of the sun. All right, it's worse than what it was before. Things are still going steadily downhill. And out of the smoke, locusts came up upon the earth. And to them was given power of the scorpion of the earth, of the earth having power. And they were commanded not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So these creatures, these things that are coming up out of the bottomless pit, they have power. They're very real in what they do. They have a purpose, and they have limitations to their purpose. They're allowed to hurt everything except for the green things, trees, grass, stuff like that. And they cannot hurt the 144,000, the ones who were marked by God. Everybody else, everything else is open game. They can come and they can sting you like a scorpion. A scorpion, if you don't know, has a horrible, nasty venom. It really does. There are some scorpions that'll sting you, and you'll drop almost immediately and die. I mean, they'll kill you. They're very poisonous. There are some scorpions that sting you, and it's not much worse than a wasp sting. But if you're allergic to them, it'll still kill you. These things that are coming up out of the bottomless pit, I've heard it said that it's a disease, a viral attack that's released from the pits of the earth, from the bottomless pit. I've heard that these here are demonic beings that are released from the bottomless pit. I really don't know. Okay, there's a lot of thing about the revelation we won't know until we get there. What I do know is how they're described. And I do know what the Bible says. I believe that there's an angel who has the key to the bottomless pit. And there's a coming a time that Satan's going to be locked in this bottomless pit. We'll find that in the Revelation chapter 20. The same angel that has a great chain and the key to the bottomless pit. And he goes and he wraps up the serpent, chains up the serpent, puts him in this bottomless pit for the millennia, for 1,000 years that he's locked up. The very same angel is right here releasing this stuff. I really don't know what this stuff is, okay? It can either be germ warfare, it can be a disease, or they can be actual scorpion-like creatures that come up out of the earth that attack mankind, human beings. And verse 2, "And he opened the bottomless pit, smoke arose, and it was a smoke like a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened because of the smoke from the pit, and out of the smoke..." Now, that's why I think, because out of the smoke, there came on the earth, and it was given to them power as scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded not to harm the grass. But out of the smoke they came. This isn't like a fog. This is like a smoke, like a furnace. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like it says locust. Yeah. Like, it says locust. Yeah. But they came out of the smoke. You know? And, smoke, and they came out of the smoke. Locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as scorpions, of the earth have power. And it was commanded for them not to harm any green thing, nor any tree, but only men who do not have the seal on their forehead. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion that stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They'll desire to die, but death will flee from them. Days of the zombies? You know, really, they're going to be seeking death. There'll be people desiring to die. They will try to die, but God says that death will escape them. So does that mean that you'll be able to shoot yourself in the head and you won't die? I don't know. What it does tell me is that they're going to desire to die. They're going to want to die. This torment that's on them, they're going to try to die. They're going to try to kill themselves. But the Bible plainly says that death will escape them, that they won't be able to die during this point of time, during these 5 months. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. I don't know any other way to say that, except it's just that. You know, that folks are going to desire to die, and it won't be able for them to die. These locusts, they have hair like a woman's hair, and they have teeth like a lion. I don't see many grasshoppers that look like that, you know. And a locust is a grasshopper, all right? All right, it has long hair like a lady. All right, and it has teeth like a lion. They have breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings are like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And their tails are like scorpions, and their stings. They have stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt man or humans for 5 months. Okay, and there's a king over them, and it was the king, and they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollon. But anyhow, you can see what they look like, alright? So these are not like regular grasshoppers that fly around. Okay, these are not locusts that we know of as locusts. It says that they have hair, like a woman's head of hair. Okay, it says that they have teeth like a lion. It also says that their power is limited to 5 months. So they have some characteristics of a locust that you would see that flies around, that we know of, a grasshopper. So they're only allowed to do 5 months worth of damage. During that 5 month time, we know that as they sting a person, it's going to torment the person bad enough that they're going to desire to die, that they're going to seek death out, but death will flee from them. What does that mean? To me, I believe exactly what it says. I believe what it says. I believe that folks will be desiring to die. They'll be seeking death out. How does a person seek out death? They seek out death today. Some people shoot themselves. Some people overdose on drugs. Some people jump out in front of trains. Some people desire the cops to shoot them. So they go out and do a crime and make cops shoot them. There's a lot of things that people do that desire to die, and they accomplish it. During these 5 months, during this torment period, people will be desiring to die, but death will flee from them. I don't know any other way to determine or to talk about that except for exactly what it says. Do I understand it? No way in the world do I understand it. Can't wrap my mind around it. I can't imagine somebody doing the Wile E. Coyote thing from cartoons, dropping a 1,000-pound safe on your head and not dying. You know, I can't see it. You know, I know they do it on Looney Tunes now, but it says that in this time, these 5 months, is going to be so bad, people are going to be desiring to die, but they will not be able to. And that these locusts, okay, if you want to call them real grasshoppers, these real grasshoppers have a king. They have an angel that rules them. I don't know of any grasshoppers that angels rule. You know, there's, except for these, but these are not your normal run-of-the-mill locusts. These are not them. This is something different. It's something different. And remember, they came out of the pit of hell. They came out of this pit. It was like a great furnace. There was enough of them that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And out of that smoke, the locusts came. And they look exactly like it talked about. Hairs, woman's hair, and teeth like a lion. They have strong breastplates of iron, and their wings are like sounds of chariots. I think that's where that fella got the idea that these may be Cobra helicopters or the Apache helicopter because of the way that they sound. You know, I think that's making it too simple. I think it's exactly what the Bible says. You know, like I was saying before, I don't believe that in this pit that there's angelic beings that have helicopters waiting to fly up and shoot people, you know. And think about it. If you get shot by an Apache helicopter with a 50 caliber machine gun or a 60 caliber machine gun, you're not going to hang out for 5 months waiting to die. You die pretty much immediately. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen it or ever been around an Apache helicopter or a Cobra helicopter, but when they fire their cannon off with that fire burst, nothing lives. Everything dies. And so anyhow, but these particular beings are not like that. They're different completely. Okay, they have in their tails, they were like scorpions. They had stingers in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. They had a king, and it was Apollon. Okay, and one woe had passed, but still two more are coming. All right, I don't want to get into these next two because I really and truly haven't done enough research and reading into it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray, and I hope that for the rest of the week, y'all go out with boldness and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a bunch of folks who want to hear it. Dear Father, we thank you. Lord God, we love you with our whole heart. Lord, we thank you for the book, and we thank you for your unveiling, for your revelation, Lord. And Father, I thank you for being able to stand up here and say, I don't know, you know, and to just believe your word for what it says, not to get too deep into it, to speculate, but just to read it and to understand that these things will come to pass, and we need to love folks and let them know. And so when they see these things, it may stir up their memory, and they'll know that someone loved them enough to tell them the truth. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness and for your righteousness. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would rest heavy on us this week, that we would be able to go out and speak of your love and your kindness to those who need to know. Father, add to the church those who need to be saved, and help us to be ministers of your gospel. And we just praise you, we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen.